The text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be open." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Here ends our text. In September 2012, in his Sunday address titled "Ephphatha," Pope Benedict XVI said that one word sums up the mission of Jesus Christ. That can be a misstatement, an understatement, or a restatement. "Ephphatha" is heard as a misstatement when instead of hearing "be opened," it's heard as "be open." This has been the world's slogan for at least 25 years. Be open to the new, the different, the better. Be open, and they love to add this, be open to whatever gets you outside of your comfort zone. And that can be a good thing. Bigger minds are open to new experiences, new ideas, a new way of looking at things. Many great inventions happen because someone looked at an old problem in a new way. But understanding "ephphatha" as "be open to new ideas" has its limits, biblically speaking. I first heard this in the 90s, but I think the up-and-coming generation always says some form of it. I first heard, hey, it's the 90s. You got to be open to the fact that couples are going to live together before marriage. Hey, it's the 90s. Every teen is having sex before marriage. And now it's, hey, it's the 21st century. And we are told by the government that we must be open, not just to homosexuality, not just to gay marriage, but to men who think that they are women and women who want to be men. If you lived in pre-Civil War America, the government then expected you to be open to the idea that blacks were not people. If you lived in 1940s Germany, that government expected you to be open to the idea that the Jews weren't people. If you've lived in post-1973 America, the government has expected you to be open to the idea that the unborn babies aren't people. And in order to do any of these, you have to be open to new theology. One where the Word of God does not dictate what is right and wrong, but the words of men or popular opinion does. No, hearing "ephphatha" as a command to be open to all that is new, better, different, that's making it a misstatement. It can also be an understatement. This is a great miracle. The man in the text was totally cut off from society. No words from them got to him, and none of his words got to them. The closest most of us will ever get to this, if we find ourselves in a foreign country where no one speaks English and we have no electronic device to translate. If that happens to us, it's a passing condition. This man was locked in for life. He was in a pitiable state and his neighbors had pity on him. People from this mostly Gentile area where Jesus had earlier healed a demon-possessed man and then sent him out to spread the gospel. The people from this Gentile area brought the deaf and mute man to Jesus. And they begged him. Now, that's a strong word to use a prayer. I wonder how many of us have ever begged in prayer. They did. All they asked, though, is that Jesus place his hand on him. They didn't even ask Jesus to heal him. Jesus doesn't just place his hand on the man. He could have. He could have healed with a touch. Others, he heals with just a word. But this man, he takes away from the others. You might say the one who bought him takes him away from those who brought him. Jesus does more than place his hand on him. He sticks his fingers in his ears. He spits and touches his tongue. And then with a deep sigh, so that this man, who could at least see, sees Jesus' chest heave. And if he was in close contact, he would have felt Jesus' sigh. This guy was on his side. Then Jesus said, "Ephatha, be open." Jesus speaks to the deaf and they hear. Jesus speaks to the mute and they speak. The way in and the way out are now open. But it is an understatement if you think this says it all. Don't get me wrong, it says a lot. It probably says all the people wanted Jesus to do for the man. If so, Pastor George Krause wasted his life. Pastor Krause taught at the seminary when I was there. He had spent 40 years ministering to the deaf. I heard him preach this text in a seminary chapel service. It was wonderful. He walked you through Jesus' actions, his sign in the moment of Ephatha. But you know, Pastor Krause never saw that happen. He spent a lifetime ministering to the deaf, yet he saw not one of them healed. Not one in 40 years. Yet he went on ministering to the deaf. And this was a waste, unless there is something more important than physically opening a man's ears and mouth. There is. And the title of Pastor Krause's sermon tells us what? He has done all things well. That title focuses on Jesus. But it takes us back to the garden. He has done all things well is close to what the Lord declares after completing creation. Behold, it was very good. Now the Lord who created the earth good is walking on an earth where nothing is good, nothing is holy, nothing is right. He is walking on the earth where men are deaf and mute. He is walking an earth where legions of demons were at work. He is walking the earth where death rides a horse and hell rides right behind him. So if the only good he does is to restore hearing and speaking so a person can hear demonic threats and speak demonic lies, well, that's not enough. Pastor Krause wasn't in the ministry to the deaf in order to impart hearing, but to impart salvation. So Jesus in our text. So Jesus in your life. Though most of us hear and speak just fine, sin closes our ears to the Word of God. The words of men we hear just fine. We all know what we are supposed to say and think and do about abortion. Yes, it's a tragic choice. Let's make them rare and safe. About homosexuality, being attracted to the same sex is normal, and it's no different than being attracted to the opposite. It's hard-hearted not to let gays marry, and it's narrow-minded to say it is sinful. We all know what we are to hear and speak about evolution being a fact, about everyone who dies going to heaven, about all religions being equal. The world now literally floods our eyes, ears, and minds with their truth. We are not blind or deaf to that. And their truth is natural to us. It's what all of fallen people naturally believe. That's why we have no hope unless Jesus reaches out to us, unless he has compassion on us, unless he opens our ears to hear the truths. Our tongues will be bound to chant the same mantras of the fallen world and not loose to sing the praises of him who bought us. How can Jesus open our ears to the truth and our mouths to praise? First, throw out your understanding of God as the cosmic Santa Claus who can ho 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 your sins away. See that God can no more do that than you tearing up a mortgage makes it so you don't owe the money. God can no more laugh your sins away than you would laugh away the crimes of a criminal against a loved one. The loan illustration shows you that this is a legal matter that can't be dismissed on a whim. The criminal illustration shows you its personal wrath and it's got to be satisfied. Sinful men couldn't be touched by the gospel unless a man paid off our soul's debt, which gave Satan the right to own us. He claimed us using God's own law that the sinful soul must die and die eternally. And God's wrath against sinners is as real as your wrath against any dog that ever bit your hand while feeding it. You and I don't laugh away betrayal, lies, insult. Yet somehow we think the holy God should laugh ours away. He doesn't, he didn't, he won't. He sent his only beloved Son into our flesh and blood. He came as one whose ears were open and whose mouth sang the Father's praises. Unlike us, he never skipped an opportunity to hear God's word. Unlike us, he didn't give more credence to what men say than what God does. But Jesus, who heard every word of God, was treated as one deaf to it. Isaiah 42:19 predicts that, saying, "Who is so deaf as the messenger I send?" So Jesus was treated as we deserve to be, as one whose ears were closed to God's word and who had wronged, insulted, betrayed, and bit the hand that fed him. Your ears will be deaf to the word that says Jesus bore your sin and guilt if you think of sin but lightly and imagine your guilt not great. Your ears will be closed to the good news that Jesus satisfied God's wrath against your sins if you don't think God has any reason to be angry at you. Likewise, your mouth won't be open to praising Him if you think you have only got what you deserve, or worse, that you deserve more. I deserve more than my ears open to the gospel. I deserve more than my mouth open to singing His praise. I deserve health, healing, happiness, and much more. If the glorious gospel has opened your ears, then this text tells you that in the man Jesus, heaven sighs with you. Jesus didn't just deeply sigh, he looked up to heaven while doing it. Heaven that can be so dark and foreboding, heaven that can appear not to care when you're hurt, lonely, scared, or dying, never ceases to groan and sigh for you in Jesus. But what does he do about it? I don't ask that as a challenge, but as a child. Jesus shows in this text that his spit is miraculous. Go ahead and read the debate. Did Jesus just spit into the air, or did he spit on his finger and touch the tongue? Well, to heal a blind man, Jesus mixed his spit with dirt to put on the man's eyes. If Jesus' spit is that powerful, what can't his body and blood given to you here do? The church has historically gone with this text where Pastor Krauss did. Very early, the 3rd century, the church had the rite of Ephatha. Those to be baptized were handled just as Jesus did this man. The fingers, the spit, the touching of ears and tongue, saying, "Ephatha." Luther retained these things in his 1523 baptismal rite, but he removed them in 1526. Keeping them helps put Ephatha in perspective, so that we neither mishear it or hear it as primarily about physical health. No, it's a restatement of God's original creation. He created us with our ears open to His word and with our mouths open to His praise. And Jesus recreates us that way. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.